So I was out last week, and I feel like I should say happy renew year to you. Y'all look good. Feel good? Yep. You know, as you start off this new year, I kind of look back a little bit, and I got reflecting on a story that happened about 9 years ago. About 9 years ago, 2010, I was privileged to take a group of our high school students to a conference called Christ in Youth, to CIY. Some of y'all have been to that conference. This particular year, we took off to Milligan College up in East Tennessee. Beautiful place up in the mountains, and during these conferences, it's just amazing times of worship and, you know, and study together and messages and things like that. And during one of the days in the middle of the week, they usually give us an extended time to kind of go on an adventure as a youth group. Some of y'all may remember this because you were on this trip, but this particular day, we decided we were going to go up into the mountains and take a hike to a place called Laurel Falls. Beautiful place. Maybe you've been there, and it's not a particularly difficult hike, but to a group of about 25 or 30 flat-footed Florida kids in the middle of the hot summer, about 20 minutes in, it started to get a little bit grueling, like, where are we going, and what are we doing, and how far away is this? And, you know, and some of our sponsors, who I won't mention any names, like Nate, decided that, you know, what's going on here? This is a little more than I thought I was in for. But I want to tell you, at the end of this hike, when we got to the falls, it was a beautiful, beautiful scene. The waterfalls and, you know, and of course the forest everywhere. And there was other youth groups there, and they were enjoying the swimming and all of the, and, you know, the things that were going on there too. Well, about an hour or two, I can't remember the time frame, but about an hour or two into our day, we found out that one of the kids there had jumped off of a rock on the waterfall and had broken his leg. Yeah, and kids were coming around him, and, you know, of course, as a youth leader, I'm like, what's, you know, is it one of our kids? It was not one of our kids. Thank God for that. But as you can tell, as you could imagine, we were, you know, just kind of drawn to this site, and even our own students that didn't know this this young man were drawn to this site, and they were praying for him and developing this, you know, kind of, what are we going to do about this situation? It was getting late in the day. The sun was beginning to go down. We were up in the mountains, and no phone service, no rescue people were coming. What was going to happen with this young man with this broken leg a mile and a half away from where we came from? Well, somewhere in the middle of that meeting, in the middle of that prayer time, a couple of our students, got the idea that not only would we pray for this young man, but they were going to get him back to safety. And a couple of them, and that's exactly what happened. I'm thinking as a youth leader, I'm like, well, we got to get back to the conference. Things are going to start in a little while. It's going to be late. I don't know what we're going to do, but I got to be honest. In my, like, that's his problem. He's their youth minister, not me. But you know, at the same time, I get it. And he was too big of a kid for his own youth group to carry back. So it was Zach Merrill and Josh Wilbright, who some of you guys might know or remember. They literally picked this kid up and carried him to the foot of the trail where Josh put him on his shoulder, carried him as firmly and strongly and gently as he could up that trail and back up the mountain and through the trail. A mile and a half on his back, he carried this young man back to his van, to safety. It is an amazing story, a story we got to celebrate in our group that night, a story that was even celebrated on stage. Josh didn't do that because of getting his own personal, you know, anything on him. He did it because he had compassion on this young man and because he knew he had to step up to the rescue. A great rescue story. You know, all great rescue stories end with a return. They end with a return back to safety, a return home. You know, whether it's a soldier story coming in from war, maybe it's a story of a search party searching for kids. Maybe it's a story of a fireman, you know, helping and rescue a cat from a tree, or maybe finding a lost dog. The situation is that there is a need, there is brokenness, there is desperation. As the case with this young man, he had no hope of getting back unless someone was to step in and rescue him. Now, I don't know where you are today, where you've come from, what kind of life you've lived, or maybe where you came from this week. But if you're like me, and you're like most of us, there's been a time in your life where physically, emotionally, or even spiritually, you found yourself broken, lost, in a very desperate situation, and you needed someone to step in and to rescue you and to return you to safety. You know, that is all of our story. That's all of our story today. And as we think about this idea of renew and what it means to be renewed, we have to understand that, you know, you're a decent person. You're a really good person. And I know that most of the time I'm a pretty decent too, but not always. And at the end of the day, if we're honest with each other, I'm a mess sometimes. I mean, there's times where I'm physically and emotionally and spiritually just like, what have I done and how have I gotten to this place? And I think you are too sometimes. In our world today, I mean, I know it's a wonderful life. I mean, we've been thinking about that the last couple of months, and I know this is a beautiful place that we live in. But again, if we're honest, since the fall of man in the Garden of Eden, when we first turned away from God, we have needed to be rescued. We need to be rescued from ourselves. We need to be rescued from our sins. We need to be rescued from the messes that we find ourselves in, and we need to return to God. You see, but when we realize this, and when we realize this, real life-changing renewal can happen. When we realize the desperate place we're in, we realize we're broken and lost. It's only then when we realize that we need a rescuer that renewal can happen, because renewal starts with returning to God, returning to God. And I have got the best news in the history of the universe for you today, and I think you know where I'm going with this. We've got the best news of all, because as lost and broken as we might be, we have a hero, we have a rescuer, we have a savior, a saver. And his name is Jesus. This is the Son of God in the flesh who came to earth to rescue us and return us back to God. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, if anyone is in Christ, I love this, if anyone is in Christ, they are a new creation. The old has gone, the new has come. Jesus came to rescue us and return us to him. He said it himself. And he lived his life to prove it. I think of John 14:6, where Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through me. Of course, through him, we can get to the Father. I think about Luke 19:10, where Jesus said about himself, the Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. That word save there, the word sosai, it means to rescue. Jesus came to rescue from destruction. It means to deliver out of danger, to bring into divine safety, to return home. Jesus Christ, God in the flesh, he came into the world to rescue us from our sin, from death. You see, we can't turn to God. We can't be returned to God and be in sin and turn to sin at the same time. We need to be rescued from it. We need to be saved from it. We need to be forgiven for it, for our sin. And Jesus came to make a way for that to happen so that we could return to God and be made new again in Christ. As we've sung all morning long, God loves us and he loves you. And God so loved you that he gave his Son to save people who believe in him, save them from their sin, from their death. And Jesus made it possible, Jesus, for us to return to God and be saved, to be rescued now and for all of eternity in heaven. I love what God says to the Apostle Paul, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verses 15 through 17. God says, this is a trustworthy saying. You can trust this to your core. It deserves full acceptance. You believe this and accept this. Listen to these words. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. Rescues, that word again. Just let those words sink in this morning. Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And Paul, then he goes on to say that he is the worst of all sinners. Why would Paul say something like that? It's because he recognized he was a mess. He recognized he was in a desperate situation. He recognized he was the one up on that mountain that needed rescued, and Jesus was the one to rescue him. Jesus came to rescue Paul, and he came to rescue you, and he came to rescue me. In fact, we can all put our name in there. Christ Jesus came to save sinners. Yes, Christ Jesus came to save Joe. Christ Jesus came to save you and I, so that he could return us to God. So no matter how far away you think you are from God this morning, know this: Jesus came to rescue you and return you back to God, home, to safety. And he is our path back to God. You see, renewal. Renewal is when we understand and realize we can hold on for our very dear lives to the back of the rescuer and let him carry us to Jesus. See, Jesus, he takes us on the path to God. Jesus is the one. The whole Bible is about Jesus. It's about how people can return to God through him. In fact, you heard Josh earlier announce Foundations 1 class. In Foundations 1, in just a couple weeks, we talk about this in depth, about the talk, about the path back to God. I want to invite you to come to that. But of all those passages, I think my favorite one is in Acts chapter 2, the book of Acts chapter 2, because the path back to God is so plain to see. So if you have your Bibles, look in the book of Acts chapter 2. I'll go ahead and turn there. And while you're doing that, I just want to remind you that by the time Acts chapter 2 was written, Dr. Luke, who wrote this book of the Bible, Acts, had already recorded in his own book called Luke, The Life of Jesus. He has told us how Jesus had proven that he is God with his life, with his death, and with his resurrection from the dead. And by Acts chapter 2, after Jesus has risen from the grave, after he's gone back to heaven, Luke tells us about the Apostle Peter. And he tells us specifically about a sermon, the very first sermon that's been preached, that's going to be preached about Jesus. And he gives us the sermon of Peter. And in this talk, Peter gives us the whole story from beginning to end. It's an amazing story, amazing sermon about Jesus the Messiah, about God's sent one, and how he was indeed the rescuer. And Peter here in this sermon shows everyone listening how Jesus was God and is the way back to God. It's amazing. So for our purposes this morning, I just want to kind of move right to near the end of the sermon there in verses 32 through 41. So if you have Acts verses 32 through 41, I want to skip right to the end there and show the path to return back to God given to us by Peter in the sermon. Verse 32, listen to what he says, God's word. Peter says, God has raised this Jesus. He's been talking about Jesus the whole time. This Jesus, told the story, this Jesus to life. And we are all witnesses of it. We've seen it with our own eyes. We experienced him right in front of our... It's true. And he says, Jesus, exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. He's pointing back to Jesus because it's all true. In verse 36, therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. You can be sure of this, positive about it. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord, he's God, and Messiah. When the people heard this, they heard this, just like you're hearing it today. The Bible says they were cut to the heart. They knew it was true. And they said to Peter and the other apostles, brothers, what shall we do? What do we do? It's like we get it. We understand now. But what do we do now about what we have done? This is a desperate situation. How do we get God to forgive us? What shall we do now to get right? What do we do now to be saved? What do we do now to be rescued? What shall we do? In verse 38, Peter replies, the path back to God. Listen to what he says. Repent. Repent and be baptized. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. That's what you do. Repent and be baptized, forgiven of your sins. And God comes and he lives inside of us. This is a promise. Listen to what it says. This promise is for you and for your children and for all who are far off, for all whom the Lord our God will call. And with so many other words, he warned them and he pleaded with them. Here's that word again. Save. Save yourselves from this corrupt generation. And those who accepted his message, they heard it, they believed it, they accepted his message, they were baptized. And about 3,000 were added to their number that day. Do you see the path? Do you see the path that Peter gives them to return to God? It's in Jesus. And it's loud and clear. Loud and clear. In a desperate situation, they needed to know the answer. What shall we do? So quick review as we look back through the words of Peter. The first thing that we see here is that they heard. They heard the word. That's what we need to do. We need to hear. You're hearing about Jesus today. You've heard about Jesus. We need to hear about Jesus. And then from hearing, we need to believe in what we are hearing. And then that belief is processed into this internal faith, into this thing where we understand and we trust in Jesus. And then that trust, that faith begins to take action in our lives. We literally give our lives to him in faith. And then that faith, we confess with our mouths that Jesus Christ is Lord. That's what was happening here in verses 38 and 41. They were baptized in the name of Jesus. They were literally, publicly pledging their allegiance to Jesus, confessing Jesus as Lord. And then this word repent. Peter says repent. This means to turn to Jesus. Look at verse 38. It's right there. Now, we're going to talk about repentance in depth next week. So that's what the sermon's going to be about. But I just got to go ahead and give you a quick intro, okay, to that. The Bible makes it clear, listen, from front to back, that repentance is the key to being renewed. Repentance is the key to being rescued, and returning to God requires repentance. So what is repentance? Repentance, this word metanoia, what's it mean? Well, it means to change direction. It means to change our mind, and that mind is processed into our hearts, and in our hearts into our action. It means literally that you are moving in the wrong direction, that we're dying and going to hell, and we're moving the wrong way. You recognize that. And it's a literal, metanoia means to turn and go into the other, to return to God. You're moving away from God. You realize that, to turn and move to God. It's the difference between turning your back on God to turning your back to God and going to him. It's the difference between turning your back and walking away or ignoring or resisting God and literally, physically, emotionally, spiritually, turning and moving towards him. Repentance. And no one understood repentance, I don't think, more than the Apostle Peter, who gave us this sermon in Acts chapter 2. I mean, just a little while earlier, you might remember, before Jesus was crucified, Peter himself denied Christ. He was turned his back on Jesus 3 times and denied Jesus just before he was killed. But here is Peter in Acts chapter 2, giving this sermon because he repented. And after Jesus' resurrection, Peter was restored, renewed by Jesus, and he returned to God in a life-changing way. We see it in the book of Acts. We see it in Acts 1 and 2. And in chapter 3, verse 19, I love it. And no one can say it like Peter. Verse 19, listen to what he says in just another sermon. Peter, he says, repent then, and turn to God. Turn to God so that your sins may be wiped out, so that times of refreshing, that word renewed, times of refreshing may come from the Lord. That's what repentance does. So we turn to God. Our sins are wiped out. And we're refreshed. We're renewed. Make no mistake about it. We are saved and rescued by Jesus. We're forgiven for our sins by his death. And we're given life through his resurrected life. We are saved in Jesus by trusting in him and what he has done for us. And trusting in Jesus means making him Lord of our lives and doing what Jesus says to do. And Jesus came to earth, Matthew chapter 4, saying these words, repent. Repent, for the kingdom of God is at hand. Like right now, I'm here right now. Now is the time to turn to God. Stop living for the world. Confess your sins. There's a new day coming. And it's in me. So we can do that. We can confess our sins. We can commit our sins to Jesus. I mean, he died for our sins anyways. And we can begin to live not for our sins, not for the world, but for Jesus. And times of refreshing, Peter says, will come to us. So the question I've got to ask myself, and maybe you need to ask yourself, is what kind of things are we willing to turn our back on God for? Anything? Is there a time during the day or during the week, last week, where you said, you know what? Nah, I know God. Return. Repent. And for some reason or another, this is another question I have. It seems to me that, and I heard someone else say this, the church is the hardest place for people to repent. Why? Why is the church sometimes the hardest, maybe even the last place that people will repent of their sins? Are we too pretty? Are we got masks on? Are we too prideful? Do we really trust each other? Are we afraid what people are going to think of us or say about us? Or maybe it's an internal motivation. Do we really want God to tell us what to do? And then in front of other people, do we really want to change the things that we hope no one's ever going to find out about? So we try to keep it a secret. But God knows. God loves you, and he loves me, and he knows us. And God says to repent. He knows we need to repent. We need to look at our lives. So we do that. And I want to encourage you to do that this week. In places like Matthew chapter 5 through 7 and the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus' words, to look at Galatians 5 and Colossians 3 and just kind of do an inventory and say, you know, if there's something that God says not to do, am I going to literally stop doing it and change direction? We're going to take some time next Sunday night. And we've never done this before, and I don't know how it's going to work out. It may be I just feel like in my life and in maybe the life of this church, we need to take a time of repentance and getting face down before God and giving it all to him. So next Sunday night at 7 o'clock, I want to invite you, if you would, to come back. It's just a renew service. It's a service of repentance. And don't come. Don't come if you're not willing to open up to God. This is going to be raw. It's going to be real. It's going to be a time to just kind of do that. And not only to do that, but to embrace and celebrate and be refreshed like God promises we'll do when we come before him and have our sins washed away, when we repent before him. There's some details in your bulletin about that. In fact, there's a spiritual inventory in there. If you open up your bulletins, you'll see not only some details about the service, but also 8 questions that you can go through this week. Whether you're coming to the service or not, again, you're going to come back next Sunday morning, but this is next Sunday night, okay? Take some time this week and do just kind of a spiritual inventory on your life and see where you are, where you might be. There's other examples out there. I just wanted to give you something in your hands that you could use this week, so it's right there in your bulletins. And while you're doing that, I encourage you to take some time to study that word this week, the word repentance in your Bibles. Do kind of a word study, do the inventory. And come, ready to repent. It's a path back to God. Peter says it. It's all through the Bible. And then in verse 38, he goes on. He says, repent, yes. And then he says to be baptized into Jesus. Be baptized into Jesus. Are you telling me that, seriously, read this again. I mean, are you telling me that returning to God means being dunked in water? Like, I need to be immersed in water in order to return. What in the world does that have to do with anything? Yeah, I mean, is that what it says here? Yes, that's what it says. Because it's not just about getting wet in the water. And if you were baptized and all you did was get wet, you need to be rethinking your baptism. You need to be thinking about, did you really, to the core, with all of your soul, give your heart, mind, soul, and spirit to Jesus Christ and begin living for him when you decided you were going to be born again? Because when that happens, in that moment of baptism, we believe that Jesus, the Son of God, we believe him with our lives, and in him, God literally can put to death our old self. And when we do that, in that water, God does the work. He is the one that does the saving. When, by faith in Jesus, we turn from our old lives, we repent of our sins, we allow him, God, to kill our old self in that watery grave. And then we rise up out of the water, a brand new person. Romans chapter 6 says we can be buried with Jesus through baptism into his death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead through the glory of the Father, we too may live a new life, renewal. A new life in Christ, renewed, rescued, returned to God. And when that happens, God promises us that he will forgive us of our sins. It's right there, verse 38. Forgive us our sins and the gift of the Holy Spirit. In fact, Titus tells, and Paul says in Titus that we're actually saved by the renewal of the Holy Spirit in our lives. It's God doing this. God living inside of us. And you can receive that gift today, the forgiveness of your sins, the gift of the Holy Spirit. Be saved. And today, if you've already done that, you've already followed that path, you already know Jesus is your Lord, then live like it. Live like it. Live a life that's renewed. I mean, you really want to stay back? No, we are in this together. I mean, and I want to encourage you today, just, you know, this, think back. I mean, you followed that path. Do you remember it? Do you remember when you first heard about Jesus? Do you remember when you first believed? Do you remember when you put your faith in Christ and you repented? There was nothing you wouldn't leave behind for him. Nothing. You're never going back. Never going back. And you were baptized into Christ and you were free and forgiven with the Holy Spirit of God living in you forever. He is still living in you. Walk with him. Live for him. Follow Jesus. Follow him as Lord. Lord of your life. That's what was going on right there in the book of Acts chapter 2 and verse 41 through 47. We see it. Thousands of people turn to God. They return to God through Jesus. They pledged allegiance to Jesus forever and they were baptized. And in a very public way, people began living for Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. And the world was changed as a result of it. You see, in Jesus, God offers us the perfect, the only path back to God. And making Jesus Christ Lord of our life is the way to return to him. So don't turn away from God today or any day, in any moment of your life. Don't turn away from him. Return to him. Return to him. Look, I believe you know what you know what you need to do today. The Bible just told you. This is God's word. You've heard about Jesus. You've heard about him the last few minutes. You've heard about him in song. The question is, do you believe it? Do you believe it? And if so, has that belief led to faith? Has that belief led you to acting on what Jesus did for you? He gave his life for you so that you could give your life back to him. Do you believe that today? And if so, then I've got to ask you the question that they asked Peter that morning. What shall you do? What will you do? And I plead with you like Peter pleaded that morning to return to God. Return to God. Leave your old life behind. Leave this stuff behind and be His. If you've never made a decision to be baptized in the name of Jesus, today you can do that, and you can leave this place today living for Him, brand new, renewed in Christ. You can give your life to Him. In fact, in your bulletins again and on the screen, there's some next steps for you. If you're not sure about this today, you know, maybe this is the first time you've heard it and you've been processing this, there's a tool out at our Next Step station called Follow Jesus. I want to encourage you to go out there and talk to one of our Next Steps coaches. And they'll kind of, it's four conversations on what it means to follow Jesus. Grab one of our Renew study guides. Start to study and to understand the Bible. Grab a hold of someone who knows Christ and is following Jesus and ask them to help you along. So our prayer team's up here. We have times and join a small group. Get to know a disciple maker and say, hey, can you tell me more about this? I mentioned earlier, sign up for Foundations 1 on the 26th. Come get some answers. I look in your bulletins, you'll see some verses. You can prayerfully read through those verses in your Bible today and this week. Do that spiritual inventory. Show up for work. Man, this is worth it. I want to encourage you again to renew that service next Sunday night. And maybe today, you know, I mentioned that CIY trip earlier. If you're a teenager today, come to youth group. Wednesday nights, Tuesday nights. There are people here that will help you walk the path to Jesus. It's a great place, and now is the time. Renewal starts with a return to God. Jesus came to rescue us and return us to God. And in Jesus, God offers us the perfect path to return to Him. And I want to tell you this morning, it is not too soon, and it is not too late. And you are not too far away from God to return to Him, to start over. No matter where you are. You know, this last story, I don't know why we don't tell more stories or see more movies about Thomas Edison. You know who Thomas Edison is. He's one of the greatest, if not the greatest, American inventor that we've ever seen. Amazing, amazing man. And in the life of Thomas Edison, something happened on December 9th, 1914 that would change his world. On December 9th, 1914, a fire destroyed over half the building in his West Orange laboratory. And according to the New York Times, damages to the laboratory exceeded $7 million. That's at 1914. And we're talking about devastation. Over 250 workers were in the buildings when the fire started. And Edison and his wife, they got up immediately and they rushed to the scene and they stayed at the scene until midnight when firefighters were finally able to come and to contain the blaze. They rescued people and they rescued two very important buildings that day. And when it was all over, as Thomas Edison looked over the destruction, he said these words. I love what he said. He said, although I am over 67 years old, I'll start all over again tomorrow. Yes, I'm over 67 years old, and I'm going to start all over again tomorrow. Could you imagine? And that is exactly what happened. I love that. Cleanup work began the very next day. Over 7,000 employees reported for duty. Reconstruction plans began. Renewal of the factory happened. And it happened because Thomas Edison and those factory workers were willing to start over again right where they were. And they returned to work. And they saw renewal happen before their eyes. Y'all, it is not too late to start, and it is not too late to restart right where you are. I want to say it again. You are not too young, and you are not too old to leave. You are not too far gone, not too far away from God to return to God. And when we realize that, renewal can happen. God's done everything He needs to do in Jesus. But we've got to take the first steps, our next steps towards Him. And I know, you know, not many of us, if any of us in here, have lost a factory to a fire. But you know your life needs rescue. You've seen destruction. Maybe you've been a part of it. You know you need renewal. Maybe it's physically, maybe it's emotionally or spiritually. I want to tell you this morning, it's not too late, and you can start by returning to God. And it's early in the year, 2020, but maybe you're already finding yourself stuck in a rut. Maybe you're already moving in the direction you don't want to be moving in. You're saying, I need something different in my life, something more rewarding in my life. Maybe even now you've been hurt. Maybe you showed up this morning with some kind of setback. You have seen the fire damage in your life, and you're wondering, what am I going to do? Like Thomas Edison said, you're going to start all over again, starting right now. Maybe it's time. Maybe it's time this morning to just leave that stupid sin behind. You know that one thing? Because I know you got that one thing, just like I do. Just enough. Maybe it's a bad habit. Maybe it's an attitude that keeps just nagging at you, get you in trouble, causing destruction everywhere. Just enough. I'm gonna leave it behind. Or maybe you showed up today anxious or frustrated, afraid or discouraged or worried. What will you do? What will you do? There's a spot in your bulletin, and you can just kind of answer this question. I want you to answer this question today. What is your next step back to God? Maybe today is the day to give your life to Jesus, once and for all and forever, to repent. It's a one-time thing, yes. You turn from your old life, but it's something we do every day as Christians. We give our sins to him. We repent. But this one time, you can repent, turn from your old life, and you can be baptized into Christ and leave here brand new. Maybe that's a decision you need to make today. We had one this morning already. It was an amazing. I know I'm running a little bit long. Dan, can I tell a story, Dan? I'm going to do that. Lady walks in the door and finds Kevin Young. He works all over. Kevin is an amazing hero of mine, okay? He just kind of runs everywhere. He's so busy in the morning, and this lady showed up, came to first service, heard the message, and decided she wanted to be baptized and leave here brand new in Christ, okay? She finds Kevin, all right? Kevin's busy. He's running all over the place, and he says, I can't help you right now, but I'm going to grab the first person I know that can help you, and he grabs Pastor Dan right over here, all right? And says, Dan, I need your help. Can you talk to this lady about Jesus? She wants to be baptized. And Dan walks over to her, and he's the one who invited her to church. Of all the hundreds of people that she could have met in that moment, she met Dan. And they went backstage, and Jennifer baptized Lori right there in that water this morning, and she left out of here a brand new person in Christ. Look, God's got a divine appointment for you this morning. You need to take it. Return to him. Or maybe today you're saved. Maybe today you know you've been rescued, but you need to give your life back to him once and for all, and just to do that. And I hope that no matter where you're at in your life today, no matter where you're at in your day-to-day, you will not see a catastrophe, but you will see an opportunity, just like Thomas Edison did, an opportunity for renewal and your return to God. And it starts by following Jesus like never before. Y'all, it doesn't matter how where you've come from. It doesn't matter where you're sitting today. It doesn't matter what kind of situation you are in your life. There's someone that's ready to come alongside of you and help you along. That's why we have small groups. That's why we're here. That's why there's a disciple maker probably sitting right around you today. You can ask that question too. Say, hey, how can I get to know Jesus better? How can I help you out? And I hope and I pray that as we sing this song, as we think this through, that maybe even today you'll leave this place different than you showed up, because you're willing to put your life on the back of the Savior, of the Rescuer, and let him carry you, broken as you may be, all through life and into eternity. Let's go ahead and stand together. We're gonna have a word of prayer, and we're gonna sing. And again, if you have a decision to make, we can help you with that. Talk to someone that you know that. Come on up front. We'll be glad to share with you as well. But let's pray. Give God thanks and sing. Dear Heavenly Father, I love you. And I thank you for loving me first. And on behalf of all of us here in this room, God, thank you for your love. You didn't have to do what you did. You sent your son Jesus to rescue each and every one of us right where we are in this life. As Jesus put that cross on his back, died for our sins, he's willing to put us on his back as well. Our yokes are heavy, God. We come to you knowing that you can carry us, you can save us, you can rescue us. And just as Jesus rose from that grave, God, we too can rise from a grave and and walk a new life with you today. I pray if there's someone in this place today that needs to give their life to you once and for all and forever, that they would do that. And God, for those of us who have, God, we're living a new life, a life of power, a life of the Holy Spirit of God living in us. God, help us to know you, to follow you, to serve you with all that we have today, to let nothing, no footholds, no sin, no nothing hold us back, but to return to you by the power of the Spirit to live for you today and every day. Change this world. Help us to be the light of the world. Renew us, God, please. Rescue us. Help us to return to you. We love you and we thank you. In the name of our Savior, we pray.